from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
All of a sudden, one week, nobody had anything down there.
It's a new world. My dad was born too early.
I've never been a fan of the bush, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
I'm going to need some pliers and a set of 30-weight ball bearing.
What
the hell you need ball bearings for?
Oh, come on, guys. It's so simple. Maybe you need a refresher course. It's all ball bearings nowadays.
And Brendan Sprague.
Only problem is he's got a little bit of Mississippi leg hound in him. If the mood catches him right, he'll grab your leg and just go to town. You don't want him around if you wear short pants, if you know what I mean.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith, as there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos that will be a home run, and so that'll make it a 4-0 ballgame. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Hope you had a great weekend. Happy Monday to ya. Got a lot to get to. Ross Tucker is going to join us coming up bottom of the hour. Always fun to talk to Ross.
What's the biggest impulse buy you've ever or thing you've ever done in your life?
Oh, God. It has to include golf in some way, shape, or form.
See, I would make the case you have a pretty good one, and it's the only thing I can think that might top me.
Of an impulse buy?
Of an impulse decision.
Oh, what is it?
Well, the thing you have is the Masters. You found out you're going to the Masters
like
2 days before you were going to the Masters.
It was a quick turnaround. Like, hey, you want to fly out to Georgia? It's like, hell yeah, I'm on my way to the Masters.
Wasn't it the Monday of Masters week or something?
I think it was the week before.
And
I
had to
jump on. It was like a week out. Yeah. I had to jump online and immediately buy plane tickets.
Which, you know, wasn't super cheap.
Right.
It's like, hey.
I would say more of an impulse thing for me would be deciding to drive to the Final Four.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
I had not made plans at all, and it was like, holy yes, they're going to the Final Four. I got to do something about this. Let's drive 22 hours to Phoenix.
Turn and burn.
It's going to be a great idea.
Yeah, that's a good one. No, I made an impulse decision on a vacation yesterday.
Oh, what'd you book? Let's go. Where are we going?
I got a week in Hawaii.
Look at you. When are you going to go?
August.
August? Hey, yeah. Look at that. Hanging out in Hawaii.
But it was funny because somebody had sent a text, hey, we booked a Hawaii trip, and I said, I'm doing that too.
You know what? Screw it. I'm going to Hawaii.
Nobody
man.
Thought I'm going to do it. I'm the cheap guy in the family. Boom. Ticket purchased.
You get all those stimmy checks. You got to put them to good use. All right.
You got to be smart with your monies.
Daddy Bucks has helped you out this year. All right. I did make a decision this weekend too. I think my most hated driver is the slow passing lane guy on the highway. Like not just left lane driver. Slow left lane driver sucks, and they
pretty
always
awful,
suck.
Yeah.
But when you're waiting behind three or four slow trucks, which I get, hey, RVs, trucks, like you got to take your time going over Mount Hood, all that stuff, right? One lane, I don't blame you at all for taking your speed. But when you get a window there, when you got like a 2 mile radius where you got a passing lane and you got to get past them, and somebody who is at the start of that line moves over to the left lane and then just takes their sweet time and ends up being the only car that gets past, and
yeah,
everybody else is,
yep,
left waiting.
That's a good one.
Dude, there is one rule of the passing lane. That is, you hammer that gas down and you go as fast as humanly possible until you're past them.
I can't tell you how many times I've encountered this in my life of driving, and I'm almost always thinking, you are a selfish,
like,
human
what
being.
Are you doing?
It's quite clearly, yeah, 3 to 4 cars that are all thinking the same thing. Hey, let's get past the big rig.
Here we go.
I don't want to ride the semi. They have
right.
a hard job.
Right.
Let's respectfully go past them and make life easier for everybody.
Yeah, the semi doesn't want another eight cars piled up behind him. He's going to have them eventually. Everybody get by.
It's the worst.
Like, come on,
and
man.
It's always a Ford Edge. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost always the same freaking car. It's the car that wants to go fast, rides your ass, passes you, and then slows down and then becomes the I'm only passing the semi.
Yes.
Truck person.
What are we doing here? Figure it out, man.
I don't know what it is. It's a middle-aged woman that drives a Ford Edge every single time and has a stick figure bumper sticker
families.
Of her family. Yeah,
the kids, the dad, the dog.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a couple of those yesterday on my way back from Sun River, and I was screaming at the top of my lungs, just get out of my damn way. Okay, let's get to this. I'm going to read you a quote. This is from March of 2020. Okay? You got Portland. You got Memphis. Mm-hmm. New Orleans and Sacramento tinkering around there.
March of 2020.
So if there's 5 or 10 games left, why not let those guys battle it out? Make them play each other all 5 games. This is from an NBA player who was a advocate for the play-in tournament last year because he thought it was great for the return of play in the bubble and it was going to be good for the NBA. That same player did not mince words after their loss last night to the Raptors in saying, whoever came up with that S needs to be fired. And that would be one LeBron James, because now his team is faced with potentially playing in the bubble. And this is going to linger. Like I love the differing teams that every time they end up landing in that seventh spot or flirting with it, you get an outrage quote from them. Dallas did this. Now the Lakers are doing it. If anybody else falls down on the state, like the Clippers hit the total skids, you can see Paul George right now. This is bogus, man. I'm not playing in this play-in tournament. But another NBA star against the play-in tournament at the end of the season.
Well. So, like, why do you turn my drops page off?
I'm just like
out of curiosity.
Oh, there you go.
No, there's no point in doing it now.
Well, no, I mean, it hit a little late, but it was there.
Look, I mean, I think one, this is a ton of things hitting LeBron all at one time. His body may never be the same. He's dealing with an ankle injury that he probably came back too quick to play on. His team kind of sucks. Anthony Davis is clearly not the same person. He's had a horrific season career wise. And the role guys have not been what they thought. Marc Gasol, Wes Matthews, they've all been bad replacements compared to what they had last year. I think it's not just the play-in tournament. Is he a hypocrite for this? Absolutely. And I'll tell you again, I'm still a fan of it. I think the people that hate it are going to end up loving it once the game gets played. It's like me with the runner on second in the 10th inning.
Sure.
Do I hate it? Absolutely. And then it gets played and the game is done quick. And I'm like, well, that actually wasn't so bad. And it's immediate. Oh, my God, get that guy in.
Yeah, the game's over pretty quick.
It's here to stay. And there's nothing you can do about it. You want to advocate for it and be against it. Have fun being a hypocrite and explaining how some way your opinion shift makes sense.
And it doesn't have anything to do with your team being in that situation.
Right. I do think he's kind of letting and revealing out a lot of feelings. I think a huge percentage of this league is feeling. The season has been a nightmare. You've had a record amount of blowouts. Defense has been non-existent for 98% of the league. This is just everybody hitting threes and nobody getting stops. I think teams like the Lakers that had to go play in the bubble, that turnaround time was stupid, made no sense. And there's no days off. These teams are back to back to every other day now, and you're getting 72 in at a quicker pace. But the league had no choice. This was a financially driven decision.
You had to do it.
I will not put an asterisk next to this season, but I do think there's a reason you're seeing certain teams play a certain level of basketball and other teams maybe flourish a little more. Look at Miami and LA, both finals teams last year. Miami's had to deal with COVID, injuries, and they just haven't looked close to what they were in the bubble, and the Lakers have had to deal with their injuries as well. So is LeBron strictly giving the opinion on the play-in tournament just because? No. But aside from him being a hypocrite, I think it's in large. He's dealing with other things in his life team-wise that kind of leads into him saying these kinds of things just on a whim in frustration. Because if you listen to the whole clip, he's not waxing poetic on
no,
the tournament.
It was just a part of a larger complaint.
He throws it in because he's realizing we might have to play an extra 2 games or a game.
Just to get the 7th seed.
Just to get into the dance. But I'm telling you, you may think this is dumb. This was smart by the NBA, and I was super against this at the very beginning. I love it because now you have derailed every team from tanking, and you've given us something to care about at the end going into the postseason. instead of saying the 1-8, who cares? The 8's going to get swept.
Sure. I have seen the light on this. I was somebody who's been pretty adamantly against it. I just did, like, having a play-in situation for teams that the majority of fans don't really care about unless your team is involved. Like, can anybody tell me off the top of my head who's playing in the 7, 8, 9, 10 games in the Eastern Conference right now? Can you tell me off the top of your head?
I don't think I can. Let me go. Right? I'd have to look at the
standings.
You have
to go look, right? So, I mean, that's my larger point. Like, who cares in large if your team's not involved?
This is actually pretty, this is a pretty appealing matchup.
Okay.
Because it's a 7-8, not the 7-10.
Yeah, you get 7 plays 8 and then 9 plays 10.
Boston and Charlotte in the 7-8.
Boston is the 7 seed in the East? Dear God.
Boston's been awful.
I mean, I knew they were bad, but 7? Wow.
They've been pretty bad. And then you'd have Indiana and Washington. And Washington's kind of exciting.
Don't sell me on that game. I appreciate the effort, but don't sell me on that game. The point was, though, like...
See that?
The
Disrespecting Washington?
I was against it initially because it's like, who cares about those teams, right? Like, Boston's an interesting sell because they're supposed to be good, but they're not very good. And then they had two of their stars collide at the end of the game last night. And that's concerning for them. But I have seen the light for the thing that you brought up. And this is an issue. We've talked about it a million times on this show. The NBA is in a constant uphill battle to try and find ways to make the regular season more relevant. They are. And if you took away this play-in situation for the Western Conference for the Blazers, like, how locked in are we as Blazer fans down this stretch? Like, of course it's a big deal.
We're pretty locked in.
We're pretty locked in. I get it. But if there wasn't the threat of, hey, if you end up in the 7th seed, you got to win a play-in situation just to get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
As opposed to being the 6th seed, you just go play the 3 seed in the first round. You know you're guaranteed a spot in a 7-game series. Like, that's a big deal. There's a lot on the line for this team. Whereas if in any other year, you're basically guaranteed making 1 through 8, maybe end up 7, maybe end up 8, maybe end up 6. But you're in the playoffs. There is a huge risk reward there. And it's giving these teams, Dallas, LA, Portland, specifically in the Western Conference, a ton to play for down the stretch. And when you're a sport that is fighting to get more relevance in the regular season and your stars are taking nights off and fans like myself will often say, who cares? It's regular season basketball. You need things to be on the line. And I used to be against it. I looked at it, thought this is dumb. Who really cares? But when you're giving teams something to play for and a carrot to chase in the regular season, it's hard to top that, and I have changed my tune on it. I think it's great for the league.
I don't think I agree with the way they're doing it, with the 7 playing the 8 and the 9 playing the 10.
It's a little weird, yeah.
But, I mean, there is a real there's a real chance that Boston just flat-out misses. If Boston plays the Hornets with LaMelo...
Yeah, he's back now.
God, they are so entertaining to watch. They can beat Boston. If Washington beats Indiana, which I think they would... Russ and Beal could each get 40 with a triple-double thrown in there, and you wouldn't be stunned to see Washington beat the Celtics. Like, there's chances where that happens. And you go look at the West, it's very similar. Portland, Dallas, LA. Maybe LA, you don't buy it yet. You'll always believe in LeBron in the postseason. That's fine. But Memphis, Golden State, San Antonio, I wouldn't give much of a chance to. But, like, Steph going off at any given night and moment?
Could happen. We've seen it how many times in the last 2 months?
And that's the thing, man. We were celebrating over the weekend Giannis playing the Nets because KD was playing.
Yeah, you had star versus star.
The fact that you're celebrating some of these games, it's great. I was really excited, and that was a fantastic basketball game to watch. But I think that speaks to their problem. And I've been old man about this for... months now. When you have these big games that people will suddenly care about, I mean, how many games did you get excited for as a kid and or whoever's listening, a teenager, young adult, when you'd get the NBC theme music on Sunday, Michael Jordan against the Utah Jazz, because you knew they were playing.
Yep.
And now it's like, well, are they playing? Should I be excited about the Clippers and the Lakers, or is LeBron, AD, Kawhi, and Paul George sitting and it's the Scrubs versus Scrubs? They're dealing with a huge problem, and I don't know how you change that. But one thing that helps the league in interest is what you're saying. It is this play-in tournament where, in my opinion, you really could have some serious upsets in teams that you thought were going to be in the postseason.
You could.
Flat out miss it just because the other team was hot for a night. And it was a bad matchup the second game.
Yeah, very well could be. LeBron is negative on it now, a year after he was positive on it, and I think it's a great thing for the league. I've changed my tune on it. It's keeping interest towards the end of the regular season. There's something to play for these teams, and instead of having a bunch of squads, you're going to have some, but instead of having a ton of teams that are just kind of coasting to the playoffs saying we don't care what seed we end up getting, a lot on the line in the last couple of weeks of the regular season, and that is a good thing for the NBA. Let's get back into the NFL. A couple of lingering thoughts on the draft, and did one team finally find their franchise quarterback? We'll do that before we talk to Ross Tucker coming up bottom of the hour. Back after this on 1080 The Fan.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome back in. Ross Tucker going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Yes, I mean, some people, a couple texts came in that segment, 503-250-1080. Somebody said, I'm being Palm Springs the whole week of the play-in tournament stuff. As a fan, I love it. Another one, shouldn't the 7 play the 10 and the 8 play the 9? I think that's a fair criticism of it. So if you don't remember, and this we read this a couple of weeks ago on the air. We're like, wait, what? That's how they're doing it this year? So the 7 plays the 8. The winner of that game gets the 7 seed. The 9 plays the 10. The loser of that game is eliminated. And then whoever wins that 9-10 matchup plays whoever loses the 7-8 game, and yeah, then the winner of that game gets the 8 seed. So, I mean, last year you had it a little more simple in my mind, if you will. You just had kind of the matchup there, and then the lower seed had to win two games, and the higher seed had to win one. Remember, Portland played Memphis, and they won the first game, so you didn't have to go play another one, and boom, there you were. You were in the playoffs. So, I don't know. I guess I kind of like that format a little bit better. That's a tough spot, I think, for the 8 seed to be in, because you put all your eggs in the basket of trying to win that 7 seed matchup, and then your reward is you got to go play a team who just won another game, and then if you lose that one, the 8 seed might not make the playoffs. It's pretty crazy.
Well, and I was
7 seed as well.
But I was thinking about during the break, you know, to add to it a little bit with LeBron comments and Luka's comments and Mark Cuban's comments. You know, Portland hasn't complained about that thing, but you get some of these teams that get into it and they start not wanting to be a part of it, which I think is actually almost an even bigger compliment to the play-in situation, because you can feel the urgency. It is an NCAA tournament style. Win and you're in.
Yeah.
Win and good luck on the next game, because you're probably going to cost yourself. What I like about it, so I binge watched. I was home alone Saturday night. My wife was staying at her sister's house. And I'm alone. I know what to do with myself. I binged and got through the entire first season of Ted Lasso.
Okay.
Which, by the way, that show lives up to the billing.
Does it?
That is such a very good show.
You got to share your Apple TV login with me so I can watch it.
It's $5.
Man, come on, hook me up here. Come on.
It's $5.
I'm paying a lot of money for cable, all right?
Well, anyways, it's one of those, like, it's funny, but you really don't laugh out loud, but it's a feel-good show.
Sure, I like that.
It's a good show, and my biggest point was I walked away from that show because it's not so much about soccer as it is the characters. We need more relegation in life. I think it's the one thing overseas soccer has absolutely nailed down.
Yep. Rewards and punishments.
And this is the only thing that can top relegation for the NBA outside of the NBA actually having relegation is doing this play-in tournament. It's the closest thing they can get to making teams care and not punting on two or three seasons to say we need better assets. They're never doing relegation. But my point is, this is the closest they're going to get to doing that is, hey, if you give a team like Chicago that has sucked for X amount of years, stop sucking, right? The theme of the NFL draft to me was how many teams continue to be in these top 10 to 15 picks every single season.
Jacksonville's there every year.
Detroit is there every single year.
Seemingly there every year.
Hey, they take another quarterback right. Because they suck. They're mismanaged. They're not well run. Well, if you're not going to relegate teams and you're not, give us something like this that piques our interest and puts some teams that we think should automatically make it every year and puts that in peril somehow.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. I think the majority of the texts that I've seen so far, people say they're on board with it as well. Just maybe tweaking the system and the way that it plays out and the way that it happens. But nice to have meaningful basketball at the end of the season. And calling a hot route, I wanted to get to some NFL draft lingering thoughts here. But this came across the wire just at the end of the last segment in the commercial break. So Kevin Love, he had a highlight that went viral the other day, by the way. Did you see on an inbounds pass, he just kind of batted it to the other team and gave up a layup?
He quit, and it was a pivotal moment of the game. Like, what are you doing?
The Cavs, for those of you who have been following, are not very good and basically have not been good in every year of their existence outside of the years that LeBron James was there and a couple of years in the 90s. He sat down with Chris Haynes, and you got to love the NBA, man. These guys they can say whatever the hell's on their mind, even in the middle of a season. Kevin Love sat down with Chris Haynes and had this to say about coming home to Portland.
Kevin Love go back to Portland? Will he go back to Portland? Every time your name is mentioned, and I hear some people say, well, Kev don't really want to play at home, and some people are like, no, he open. Could you dispel that finally real quick, Kev? What's your view on playing home?
By the way, who wouldn't want to play with Dame Lillard, first of all?
Okay, all right, well.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean, he's special. He's amazing. I still love, I claim Portland. When people ask me where I'm from, I spent all my formative years. I grew up in Portland. People ask me where I'm born. Obviously, I say L.A., but Portland is always going to be a special place in my heart. Like, whether it be at the end of my career, whether it be in 6 months, whatever it may be, if I was wearing a Portland jersey, I mean, that's special, right? Like that's playing at home.
I love that this happens in the NBA. He's in the middle of a season with 8 games to go talking about playing for another team. Cracks me up. By the way, he has 3 years or no, excuse me, what, 2 years left, I think, on his deal after this at $31 million and $28 million a year.
Yeah, you ain't getting him in a trade. You ain't taking that deal on. It's an awful contract. It's one of the worst in the league. If he wants this to happen, you want to go to a team like Portland?
Buyout.
You have to reach a buyout. It's just, it is what it is. They're not shopping away some of their better players for Kevin Love, who can't play half the games. Get him on a buyout, then sure. Can we address the elephant in the room? First of all, you're not from Portland. You're from Lake Oswego.
Oh,
there
wow.
is a difference.
Wow.
Second of all, you can't claim Portland.
Wow.
You claim Portland did
there
this
is.
And that. You did. Portland did this and that for you, and then what do? Where were you born?
I was born in L.A.
Yeah.
Where'd you choose to play college at?
L.A.
Oh, you still hold that against him, huh?
I just
leaving hometown, going down to play for UCLA?
I don't begrudge any. Well, no, I didn't care. I was an Oregon State guy.
Sure.
I didn't, what do I care
well,
if
I mean, he
goes to Oregon?
Gone to Oregon State. You know?
Not really, no. They were awful when he chose to.
They
won
the
no
around.
Games, I think, his senior year of high school.
Could have turned the program around.
My point is, people do this all the time. I'm from Portland. I was born in L.A., though. Yeah. It's like, dude, just. You love L.A. It's okay to love Los Angeles.
I remember I used to have those arguments. Not arguments, but I used to crack me up when, like, first getting on a college campus and you meet people. You're like, hey, where are you from, man? Well, I grew up in Portland. It's like, so did I. What high school did you go to? Beaverton? Okay, I mean, sure. Okay.
If somebody's from way out of state, say Portland. If you grew up in Oregon, don't tell me you're from Portland right. And you didn't live in Portland. That being said, you welcome them in if you can get them on a buyout, assuming you're going to need some bigs and some diverse players.
He's 32 years old. He's averaging 11 and 7 this year.
Well, he can't stay all these his biggest problem. This is such bad stuff for the league. I've been railing against the league lately, and I'm a huge NBA guy.
You are. He's in the middle of a season.
He's playing with other players, and he's openly discussing how he'd love to play with a different guy and play for his hometown team in 6 months to a year, whenever that may be.
6 months, basically, this offseason. Come get me on the buyout market, Portland.
God, this is an awful thing for the NBA to have to deal with when players openly just discuss that they hate the team they're on.
What do you think? Would you want Kevin Love in a Blazer uniform next year on the buyout market? 503-250-1080. That is a fantastic time. We'll read some of those coming up at the end of the show as we wrap it up, get the poll questions, and let you know what's on tap. But next, our buddy Ross Tucker, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, will talk about the draft, all things going on in the National Football League with our buddy Ross Tucker. Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, let's get back into the NFL with our buddy Ross Tucker on the line. Odyssey Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Dell Technologies Small Business Podference 2.0 podcast series, available on odyssey.com/Dell. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, thanks as always for the time, man. We love chatting with you. How dumb are draft grades?
Well, first of all, I haven't heard that song in a long time.
It's Tracy Chapman, man.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn. I like that. Good work there. That's funny. I don't think they're stupid.
You don't think
they're
stupid?
I'm okay with them.
Okay.
No, I'll tell you why. I mean, we all know that the real grade is incomplete, right? Like, we all know that we won't know how teams drafted for 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. but what draft grades are, it's really an evaluator saying, hey, this is what I thought of these players, and this is what I thought of this team's needs, and I thought they did a good job of getting value with these players, you know, and given the team's needs. However, you know, they're going to be wrong a lot. Mm-hmm. So I guess in that sense, draft grades are stupid, because the only real grade will be how the team performs over the next 3 or 4 years. But I don't mind them. I kind of like looking and seeing how the so-called draft experts think teams did.
How do you judge where the quarterbacks go? Do you judge it by the coach that wants to take said quarterback? I mean, because there's so many uncertainties at that position. That's a coin flip in itself. And, the draft order went a little different outside of Lawrence and Wilson. What did you think of where the quarterbacks ultimately ended up? And how do you gauge it as a former player now in the media of how to feel about where a prospect goes?
Yeah, so a couple things there. So first of all, it's funny because just getting back to the grades thing, it's like the Bears move up for Justin Fields. It's a great draft. It's awesome. Meanwhile, Justin Fields might stink, and it's a terrible draft. They gave up next year's first-round pick. I will say I thought the Patriots just sitting there at 15 and getting Mac Jones was nice. I mean, look, nobody's Tom Brady, but at least he looks like he's capable of filling a similar role, running the same type of offense that the Patriots have had success with for so long. I thought the Trey Lance one at 3 with the Niners was really interesting. You know, I'm an FCS guy, and so I'm rooting for him. Mm-hmm. It's just mind-boggling to me. And everybody that talks to him, everybody that evaluates him, like, they love this guy. I mean, they absolutely love him. But it is interesting for me to think, like, if you would have told me, guys, when I was in college, I went to Princeton, it was called 1AA then, right? If you would have told me that a guy would play 1 year of 1AA football as a redshirt freshman and then be the third pick in the NFL draft, I would have, like, laughed at you. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's really incredible that that's where we are now. And evidently he's that good, and North Dakota State lost. which they never do yesterday, so right. They needed him.
He never lost a game, right, as a starter, and he never threw an interception. He had all those metrics going for him. It is insane. High ceiling there, maybe a low floor, but there, a lot of drama when they took him number three. We're talking about Ross Tucker, at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. One of the other things about having so many quarterbacks early was maybe other teams could win the lottery of getting a guy that truly is like a top two or three talent in the draft, but they're just falling because teams are so quarterback desperate. Of those non-quarterbacks that went early, which one stood out the most to you, and which fit do you like?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had a more original take, but it's Kyle Pitts. You know, I mean, if somebody said, who do you think is the most likely guy from this draft to make the Hall of Fame, I would say Kyle Pitts. I think he's like the most perfect tight end prospect we've ever seen. Now, maybe he's not like an unbelievable blocker, but he's certainly the best tight end receiving prospect by a significant amount that I think we've seen come out of college. That doesn't mean he'll be as good as Kelce or Kittle or Gronk or whatever, right? But based on what they did in college, Kyle Pitts is the best receiving prospect we've ever seen from that position. And I thought the Falcons did the right thing. I mean, if you can get a guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer or has a good talent base to be a Hall of Famer, I think you take him, and whether it's Matt Ryan for a while or you end up getting another quarterback, they're going to be real happy that they have Kyle Pitts.
How does the Aaron Rodgers thing play in the locker room, you think?
That is a good question. You know, depends on the guy. I think there are, you know, the guys after about 20 on the roster, they're just worried about their jobs. They don't care. You know, they really don't care as much as people might think they do. But the established starters with long-term contracts, like this is their life now. I mean, this is, they want to try to go to the Super Bowl. But I bet a bunch of them actually support him and defend him and understand. My guess is it still ends up just being a, he gets more money. You know, I mean, they're not going to fire the GM. The only way to really fix it will be a financial apology that essentially allows Rodgers to dictate the terms of how long he stays or when he goes. So my guess is it's like a no trade clause, and I don't know if it's 2 or 3 years fully guaranteed, that just lets Rodgers dictate when he wants to go, what he wants to do. I don't see any other solution out of this.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hairy situation. Ross Tucker, our guest, at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter, host of the Ross Tucker Podcast, Odyssey NFL Insider. Just in terms of that, how the way he's handling it, how would you grade that? Grades are in the news right now, but it's just kind of, you know, the kind of passive aggressive, leaking it through the media. You get this random report on draft day. How do you think he's handling his frustration?
I would say I kind of go back and forth between equal parts hilarious and equal parts not a big fan. So the hilarious is last year they ruined his draft day. They ruined that weekend for him, right? They took Jordan Love in the first round. So I guess this stuff's been going on all off season. They've flown out there to meet with him, blah, blah, blah. And it's the funny part to me, the hilarious part. He's like, oh, yeah, you guys ruined my weekend last year. I'm going to ruin your weekend this year. So part of me, you know, kind of likes that spite a little bit. It's almost like, you know, you went back out with the girl that dumped you just so you could dump her. You know, it's kind of funny. But the other part of it is, I don't know. You know, maybe it's his agent. Maybe it's a media strategy. At least Russell Wilson, and I didn't care for the way he went about it, but at least he came out and said it. You know, at least he came out and said what his issues were and kind of put his name on it and didn't allow there to be any room for interpretation. You know, the way Rodgers is doing it, you know, I don't know. I that's not a way I would choose to handle things in my life. Mm-hmm. I guess he thought that was the way he could get traded. I would have just come out if he really isn't going to play there again. Why not come out and say, I'm not going to play for the Green Bay Packers again, and I need to be traded. I'd rather have had him handle it a little bit more directly.
Yeah, I just want to tell him, hey, Aaron, no matter what, the fans are ultimately going to hate you for a couple years anyway. So just own it, accept it, move on. Now, let me ask you, you're an offensive line guy. You know, you like the trenches. You're a trenches guy. Ross Trenches Tucker. What does Ross Tucker think of the tape of Penei Sewell? Because he was an interesting one for us. We rant and raving about how good this guy was. He goes into the draft. He doesn't play last year. And suddenly people were saying Rashawn Slater just as good, that he doesn't really stand apart as much as some people think. What did Ross Tucker think of Penei Sewell?
Well, rare ability. You know, the combination of size and movement skills, rare ability. Physical, fluid, all those things. But, you know, I'd heard some maturity issues. I don't really know. You know, I never met the young man. So I don't know what they mean when they say that. But what I would say is he's not like a finished product. He's not, he's got a lot of potential, but he's not there yet. And there's always a chance he won't get there, right? Like, I mean, I can't tell you how many guys I played with that had all kinds of potential, but they never really became what they could have been. Slater is more of a finished product. Like, if I was going to the Super Bowl this year and I can only get one of those guys, it would be Slater. Wanted the guy that would be best for the next 10 years, and I had confidence in my offensive line coach, and I felt good about Sewell as a person, then it would be Sewell. Because mm-hmm. he has like Hall of Fame, perennial all-pro physical ability. Slater really doesn't.
Yeah. Is Detroit the one team you think every player going into the draft is secretly hoping doesn't draft him?
Why do you say that?
You know, there's something about the Lions, man. It just doesn't feel very encouraging just because their entire franchise history has not been rather encouraging.
So the question was, does he not want to go there?
No.
Other teams in the NFL that one? I'm a little confused.
Just more of, do you think there's a team that players look at and go, I don't know about that team, versus some of the other teams you maybe get excited for? Mac Jones going to New England where Tom Brady flourished, probably pretty excited. You get a lot of guys that go to Detroit, and Detroit just comes up short every year.
Yeah, you know, I think the teams that fit that, it's funny. I was telling somebody the other day, when I was eligible for the draft 2001, I only ever got two phone calls during the draft, and they were both from the Bengals. And at the time, the Bengals had not had a winning season in over a decade.
Damn.
And so they called me in the first round, and I was like, I'm ready to be a Bengal. Let's do this. And they were like, hi, Ross. We're just calling to say that we have an interest in maybe signing you after the draft if you don't get drafted. I was like, oh, thank you for calling. But I'm ready now. Like, you guys, we can do this now if you'd like to. I'm available now in the first round if you guys are available already. So it's just funny because it used to be Cincinnati. For a long time, I think it was like Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I just – not success on the field and sort of rust belt, not the greatest weather. I think Detroit probably still fits that, but now Cleveland and Buffalo are good, mm-hmm. and that's totally changed. And I don't think, you know, I think Buffalo is a little bit of a smaller city. I don't know. I haven't heard people say Detroit was a place they really wanted to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the case, but I don't remember hearing that as much as Buffalo, Cleveland. I'm sure that that's the case, but on, I'd say, a lesser scale than the Buffaloes and the Clevelands of the world.
Sure. Odyssey Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Dell Technology Small Business Podference 2.0 podcast series, available on the odyssey.com/Dell at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter, and a noted Tracy Chapman fan. Thanks as always, man. We love chatting NFL with you.
You're not going to give me one reason to stay here and keep talking?
We'd love for you to hang around and keep
talking. Turn it back around.
Turn it back around. Okay, all right, there you go. Ross Tucker, great stuff. As always from him, as we talk a little NFL draft and Aaron Rodgers. I love his take on Rodgers there. The part of it being hilarious, you ruined my draft weekend last year. I'm going to ruin your draft weekend this year.
But they got back at him on the draft. They said,
did.
Yeah, you ruined draft day for us. Sure. We're going to draft a DB that doesn't help you. Screw you, Rodgers.
Here's a project DB that you can't throw the ball football too. And then, but yeah, part of it is like, just grow up, man. Come out, speak your mind. You want out of there? Then say you want out of there. All right, what's on tap? Thoughts on Kevin Love, poll questions, all of it next on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right. There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
Hey, What's on Tap brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Sucked down a lot of pelicans in Sun River this weekend. Nice sunny weather. A couple of slide tackles on the patio. Felt good. Felt good. What's on tap for today? We'll get to that coming up in a moment. The Blazers are playing tonight. Poll question recaps quickly. What are we laughing about? What did I say? What did I do? What happened?
Don't worry about it. Okay. It's behind the scenes of the show.
Okay. Look up. You guys are laughing at me.
Can I ask real quick, how did the Lions not fall into the category of teams that players didn't want to play for?
Yeah, of all the teams you could choose to not play for, the Lions are easily number one. They have the worst success of any team in the NFL. It's not even close.
I take him at his word, but cold, not good. Detroit was in that as much as Cincinnati and Cleveland was.
I mean, at least Detroit, the only benefit there weather-wise is you get to play in a dome, so you don't have to play in the cold weather.
You still got to live there, though.
So you still have to live there, and they have won, what, two playoff games in their franchise's history?
Yeah.
One playoff game, two, something
like
that.
In the Super Bowl era.
Sure.
Yeah, they, I mean, they know, did I'm win a title back, to back in the 40s
stop.
Or something.
Stop.
But
stop. Stop it. No
was
counties.
That Dick Night Train Lane? Was that who was?
Sure. You used to drink a lot of Night Train in high school.
Did anybody use that as a porn name? Because, man, that's a missed opportunity.
It really is. Okay, here we go. Outside of Trevor Lawrence, which quarterback that went in the first round will have the best career? Wilson, Lance, Fields, or Jones?
Oh, God. Such a crapshoot question.
Yeah, give me your answer now.
Fields certainly has some things that could line up really well for him. Like, I know Nagy is connected to pace. I think Nagy is a good coach. Okay. I really do. I mean, he got to the playoffs with Trubisky twice.
He did, I would argue. His defense got him there, but sure. Yeah,
okay. That's fair, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Career long wise or immediate?
Best career.
I think I got to say Fields.
You go Fields?
Yeah.
I answered Fields as well.
He's got the most to work with, and now if he uses this
ooh,
as a
more
little...
so than Trey Lance, you think?
For some reason, I want to say Trey Lance, and I don't know why.
I wonder what could lead you to that answer. Trey Lance did win the poll question. 37% said Lance, 35% said Fields.
Yep.
Only 4% out there loving Zach Wilson and what he's bringing to the table.
Not very encouraging. Jets fans, I think, excited. Everybody else seems to be, all right, I mean, you were pretty confident, but have fun with that.
His draft night was pretty funny. The Verizon tweets that he sent out, like the paid advertisement, pictures in the hotel room getting dressed were pretty funny.
Did you know how young he looked? I feel
so
like I
young,
didn't
right?
know he, and maybe that's the headband.
Sure, they have the, where they're all lined up on the red carpet, and the guys are doing like hand signals and stuff, and he's just standing there looking around
oh,
like
saw
all
that.
Awkward. I did see that.
So
yes.
Yeah, they had Jalen Waddle, and they had Rashawn Slater where he was sandwiched in between them, right. And they were, Slater did like a peace sign, and Waddle did like, like a what's up with his hands thing.
Sure.
And there's video of Wilson looking to his left and right, really uncomfortable, yes. As yes. if he's thinking they're throwing up right. It was signs of something else. I don't know why he was freaking out, but he looked like a terrified little boy.
He did look like, yeah, yes, he did. So he had an interesting draft night. And then I have the Blazers turn a corner. 63% of you say LOL no. What's on tap is they play tonight, 5 o'clock in Atlanta.
Let's
they get
go.
A win. They are an underdog
yes.
tonight in Atlanta.
Bet it. They're rolling right now.
2.5-point dog. Atlanta, 5 games above .500. They're the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. They had a tornado evacuation. The Blazers did at their hotel this morning. So there's that, if you think that plays into tonight's game.
They got in late,
landed
too.
At like 2:30 in the morning. They had to climb out of their rooms and go down to the bowels of the hotel. And Denver can clinch a playoff spot tonight with a win or a Blazer loss. So
all
there
right.
you go. What's on tap? Okay, if you missed any of the show, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We had Tyson Alger on to recap the Oregon Spring game. We had Ross Tucker on, who we just talked about with the NFL. Good stuff from both of them at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Hope you had a great weekend. Thank you so much for being a part of our Monday. Colin coming up next. AJ and Dusty, noon to 3, primetime. Isaac and Sook, 3 to 7, as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.